All right, Rabbo, say good morning, good morning. Let us begin. First of all, it's you chavra can't see this, but I will tell you, this is to the chavra on Zoom. It's mamish. I see Alan Wiseman in Bnei Brak over here in his hot spot in Bnei Brak, and I see David Kahana in a sukkah drinking wine with Daf Yomi, mamish. He's in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a drinking problem. He's in Eretz Yisrael. I want to be clear. Incredible, mamish. Okay, I trust everyone. Wonderful to see everyone. Hello, I wish you zocha to join the Chevron Eretz Yisrael Bekarov. So I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shir. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Avram and Shandy Kelman for dedicating all the shiurim this month in memory of their parents. To thank Jack Bennett for dedicating all the shiurim this month in memory of Givati Brigade First Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport. Dr. Linda Weinberg for dedicating the shiurim this month in memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz Moshe Ben Avraham David. We thank all of our sponsors for their dedication and generosity. And Abosi, with that, let us begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf Chof Vav, 26. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Chof Hey Amud Beis. Hopefully you did your homework. I signed a little bit of homework last night. But let us begin. I'm sorry. Great, let's begin. So Abosi says the Mishnah. Fascinating case. Bechor Shenaf Alabar. Abosi, if you have a firstborn animal, a Bechor animal, that fell into a pit. So let's give a little bit of context over here. Look at Rashi, Bechar shenaf al habar, Bechar bizman hazeh ein nishchat b'lo mum. I will remember again, a Bechar animal, right, a firstborn animal, has kiddush as Bechar. It has a certain level of inherent kiddusha. That animal, technically speaking, is the property of the Kohen. So what's the halacha? The owner is permitted to go ahead and shecht it and keep it for himself if the Bechar animal develops a mum, some type of disqualifying blemish. Now we'll discuss the parameters of this. Rashi says, Mipnei shekodshim hu deme'ilav hu kodesh, v'hushchitu v'ashochto kishuhu tam harishochet kodshim b'chotz v'anosh karis. We'll see, this is actually very interesting. So remember, so a couple of pieces. A Bechar, firstborn animal, is kodesh and is the property of the Kohen. If, however, the animal develops a mum, we'll discuss what type of mum, a mum kavua, an established mum. So it becomes the property of the Israel owner. However, again, we will see the Israel owner cannot intentionally inflict a mum so as to allow himself to keep the animal. And if he shechts the Bechar without a mum, that is the equivalent of what? Shechting kodshim, shechting karbanos, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which technically speaking carries with it a penalty of kares. Very significant. So the case over here is Bechar shenaf al habar. So both say, the issue over here is I have a Bechar animal that fell into a pit. And what I'm concerned about over here is that the animal is going to die in the pit. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yerid Mum Chavira. Rabbi Yehuda says, what we go ahead is we lower a mumcha, right? So remember, there are certain people who are experts on mumin. But say, you know, there are many people who are experts at finding mumin. They could find the mum in any person. They could find the mum in anything. Right? People are very proficient in that. This is a good type of expert in that. This guy is specifically trained to be able to go ahead and identify which type of blemishes render a Bechar the property of the owner. So Rabbi Yehuda suggests as follows. Lower the guy down, lower the mumcha into the pit. Rashi says mumcha, baki b'mumin, lahavchin bein mum kavol mumor. So we're going to see that in the world of mumin, not every mum is the same. The type of mum which allows the owner to keep a Bechar is what we call a mum kavua, a permanent mum, versus a mum over, right? A mum over is a mum that you have now, but again, it'll go away. It'll heal. That second type of mum, a mum over, does not permit the owner to keep the Bechar, only a mum kavua. So Rabbi Yehuda suggests, lower the mumcha down into the pit, let him inspect vira, top of chavav, im yesh bo mum yalav yishchot. Now both say, if the animal indeed has a mum, then what does that mean for me? I'm the owner. What does it mean for me if the animal has a mum kavua? What does that mean? It's mine. If it's mine, then what am I allowed to do? Bring it out of the pit. See, I'm both saying, the issue at play over here is to go ahead and hoist an animal out of a pit because I'm on a shecht and I need it, that's permitted. To hoist an animal out of a pit that I can't eat, you can't do that because the animal's mukta. So the shayla over here is this animal permitted to me or not? Or Rabbi Huda says, only one we need to know, is it a mum kavua or is it a mum over? Let's lower the mumcha into the pit and go ahead and let him inspect the animal. But ultimately, again, if the animal does not have a mum kavua, then what? Then ultimately, lo yishchot, then halacha lemaisa, you can't go ahead and shech the animal. Which makes sense. And therefore we'll say, when it's lo yishchot, what else does it mean? Not only lo yishchot, but what? But what? Lo yale. You can't exert the effort to bring the animal out of the pit. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Kol she'ein mumo nikar mi ba'od yom. Rabbi Shimon says, halacha l'maisa, if the mum was not recognizable on Erev Yom Tov, in other words, if it was not a known mum, a mum kavua, on Erev Yom Tov, then what? Ein ze min hamuchan. He says, the animal is not prepared for use. In other words, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is like this. If when Yom Tov started, this was an unblemished bechar, that means it was set aside for non-use on Yom Tov. The development of a mum kavua on Yom Tov cannot change the mukta status of the animal once Yom Tov has started. Look at Rashi. Ein ze min hamuchan. Now Rashi says over here, this is actually not mukta, but rather again, he says, la mishum mukta asra le daha lesli mukta elefi shematiro b'yom tev nira kimitakno. See, they both say, Rabbi Shimon has a different issue over here. This is not a mukta issue. This is an issue we're going to see later on that we do not render judicial rulings on Yom Tov. And the reason for that is because it's nira kimetakein. Ultimately, again, it looks like you're fixing something, so to speak. So the act of going in a paskening on a bechar ultimately is what? Is the rendering of a legal decision. So therefore, halacha lemaaseh, Rabbi Shimon says, if the animal was paskened on, right, if you paskened on the animal that it's a mum kavua on Erev Yom Tov, you could use it. But the moment that Yom Tov started, and that animal, as far as we're concerned, is a regular bechar with no mum, you cannot go ahead and change its status on Yom Tov itself. So therefore, we'll say, fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. Again, just to be clear on the case, the animal falls into the pit. I want to know, can I extract the animal or not? Is that a permitted tircha? Well, it's only permitted if what? It's only permitted halacha lemaisa if the animal is fit for consumption. So Rabbi Huda says, no problem. Lower the mumcha into the pit. Let him inspect it there. If it's a mum kavua, hoist the animal out because now the animal is permitted for consumption. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Status is determined at the onset of Yom Tov, but not a din in mukta. It's a din in rendering piske halacha. Beis din does not sit in session on Yom Tov. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't render piske halacha on Yom Tov because it's nira kimetakein, it looks like you're fixing something. Rabbi Shimon says, if it was fit Erev Yom Tov, good. But if it wasn't fit Erev Yom Tov for my consumption, I cannot change that reality on Yom Tov. So also, I just tell you, just b'derach hashgafa, when I was preparing this daf in my sukkah last night, it really struck me how profound these words are. Listen to this idea. Bechar shenafal labar. We'll say, what's a bechar? What's a bechar? Bechar, in this case, is an animal that has inherent kiddusha. Right? The bechar didn't do anything. It's just being born first. Which is an incredible metaphor for a yid, for a Jew. Each of us is a bechar. Each of us has that inherent kiddusha. Right? No matter, it doesn't matter. I didn't do anything. It's just, I'm a Jew. I'm a son of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, a son of Sarif Karach and Leah. This is who I am. I'm a Bechar. I have inherent Kiddusha. What happens in life sometimes? Nafal Abar. What happens in life sometimes? No matter how much inherent Kiddusha you have, you just fall down. And when you fall down deep, right? I don't just like fall on the ground. I fall into the bar. So what's the halacha? What do you do? What do you do in life? When even though I know that I have inherent kiddusha, I'm nafal abar. I fall just into the deepest places in life. What does Rabbi Huda say? Rabbi Huda says, Yered mumcha. There's two pieces over here. Yered mumcha. Yered mumcha means you have to find a Rebbe. Everybody in life has to have someone who they look to. I'll tell you why. You know what the difficult part about a mum is? Difficult part about a mum? We joked before that you could always see mumen in others. It's amazing, the only mumen I never see are my own. And so it's so important in life to have someone, not to have someone you could go to who could tell you what your faults are. No one exactly wants someone like that. But to have someone who you trust enough in life, that when they give you hadracha, And when they tell you, by the way, no, this isn't the right way, that you're makabel. It's not easy to find someone like that, to find a Rebbe, to find a mentor like that, who you trust enough, right? In other words, I could learn Torah from anyone, but to find someone in life who I trust enough that when they tell me, that's a mum, right? I believe that person's a mumcha, and ultimately I'm going to take that advice, I'm going to grow with it. But there's an incredible mussar to the Rebbe also, right? Which is what? Yered mumcha. You see, if you want to go ahead and be a leader, you have to be willing to go down and meet people where they are. Leaders who like to live in ivory towers, right? Leaders who like to live in ivory towers are usually incredibly ineffective. Incredibly ineffective. This is why, bederach klal, politicians are ineffective. Because politicians live right in a different place. Very rarely interested in coming down to be yore to the bar. For example, but that's the difference in klal Yisrael. What's a mumcha? What's a mumcha? Yered mumcha. The mumcha is willing to go down to the person in the bar and to say, listen, together, let's go ahead and raise ourselves up. So we'll say, such an incredible yisod. We all have incredible kiddusha. In life, we inevitably end up into the bar. Make sure you cultivate a relationship with someone who's your mumcha, who you trust enough to go ahead and say, tell me what the mumin are, so that I can go ahead and fix it. And it doesn't matter how accomplished, under-accomplished, all of us, need our mumcha we could turn to. So the Gemara goes weiter. B'maikamiflagis, what are they arguing about? The Bosei says, this is Machlokis, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. What are they arguing about? Inema b'ro'a mumin kamiflagi. Maybe the Machlokis is a general Machlokis about do we look at mumin on yomtiv? Maybe that's the Machlokis. Do we examine mumin of a Bachar on yomtiv? Well, if that's the Machlokis, which is definitely a legitimate Machlokis, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Savar Ro and Mumin Yomtiv. Rabbi Huda holds that you could examine Mumin on Yomtiv. Rabbi Shimon Savar Ein Roin Mumin Biyomtiv. And Rabbi Shimon says, we don't look at Mumin on Yomtiv. Maybe that's the Machlokas. V'lif leguber Roin Mumin Da'alma. Then just frame the Machlokas that way. The Gemara says, Bachar Shin. So what Maharaj will say, the Mishnah is dealing with the case of a Bachar Shinafal Abar. Why do you, if the Machlokas is whether or not we examine Mumin on Yomtiv, which by the way, is a legitimate machlokis, because what that is about is do we render, you know, legal decisions on Yomtiv? But if that's the machlokis is about, you don't need a case of a Bukhar that fell into a bar, right? You could just go ahead and say, a Bukhar has a mum. I don't know. Is it a mum kavua or not a mum kavua? Do we pass him, not pass him? Why do you need the case of Bukhar shenafal the bar? To which the rest like this is incredible. So I'll tell you why. Bukhar shenafal the bar, it's richale, sagadait chamina mishum tsar bale chayim, le arim veliske kerabi Yoshua. Because I will say, there's another issue at play over here, which is tsar bale chayim. Right, the assumption is that when the animal falls into the pit, there is some element of tsar associated with the animal. So I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, since this is a case of tsar bale chayim, maybe I could employ some type of subterfuge, like Rabbi Yoshua. What does Rabbi Yoshua say? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Velaskik Rabbi Yoshua, Dara Parak Mashilin, also of Yespinosh Nafalabar, Ma'alas Harishon Amanasa Shokht. Rabbi said, we're going to see this later on. This is an interesting case. You're not allowed to shecht a mother and a child on the same day. Let's say you have a mother and child that fell into the pit. Not Bachar, regular animals. So Rabbi Yoshua says like this. You could bring out the first animal with the condition to shecht it, with the intention to shecht it, and then what? Once you get it out of the pit, you do what? You change your mind. No, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I want the other one. And you go down to the pit to get the other one. Rabbi Yeshua allows you to go and employ that level of subterfuge because this tsar bali chayim. So I might have thought that in this case also of Bechar Shanaf Alabar, maybe I should be able to go ahead and employ some type of subterfuge because the tsar bali chayim, kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, that's not the case, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Shimon will not allow you to hoist that animal out of the board, out of the bar. Ihachi, lo yishchot. If that's the case, Rabbi say, then again. So now I understand why the Mishnah frames the case of a Bachar Shenafal Labar. Because you might have thought that since the animal is in the bar, and therefore there's an element of Tsar Bali Chaim, that perhaps you'd be able to pull a little shtick, right? And play a little subterfuge in order to get the animal out of the bar. Kamashman, Rabbi Shimon says no. Right now, Rabbi Huda says you could lower the Mumcha into the bar. you come out lower the mumcha, and he could expect it, and he could inspect it there. But Rabbi Shimon says, nothing doing. If the animal was not cleared for consumption on Erev Yom Tiv, you can't do anything with it on Yom Tiv itself. If that's the case, says the Gemara, instead of saying, yishchot, lo yishchot, shouldn't the Lashon be, lo ya'alev yishchot? So Rabbi say, why doesn't the Mishnah make any mention of bringing the animal out of the bar? To which the Gemara says, lo tzricha, da'avar va'aske. This is fascinating. Rabbi say, what's the case we're dealing with over here? We're dealing with a case of where the guy already took the animal out of the bar. Right, he already did it. Right, so again, had he asked the Shaila, can I go ahead and take the animal out of the bar? Everyone would agree that what's the answer? What's the answer? At least initially, no. Right? Remember again, even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you just to take the animal out of the bar. He says, you could lower the mumcha. If the mumcha says, ultimately, again, it's okay, then enachinami, the animal is yours. You could use it. Rabbi Shimon says, under no circumstances can you do anything with that animal. We're dealing over here with a case of where someone went ahead and brought the animal out anyway, without asking. They went without asking. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, lo tzricha da'avar va'aske. Rashi says, So therefore, everybody's agreeing that halacha lemaisa, you don't raise the animal up. The only shaila is, do you lower the mumcha in or not? Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Shimon says no. In a case where you went ahead and you took the animal out of the bar, you didn't ask. You just did it. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, "Sagla daitcha amina l'shchita." You might have thought that at this point in time, therefore, it should be fit for shchita. Kamash mala, no. Kamash mala, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, "L'shachte." Well, how could you shech the animal? Hatamhu. It's an unblemished animal. Or it's, how would you? What's the havamina that you'd be permitted to go ahead and shech this animal? Lo tzricha dinafal ba muma. No, no, no. The case over here is where the animal ultimately developed a mum. I says the Gemara, v'ha muktzahu. But one second, even if the animal developed a mum on Yom Tiv itself, don't we say that the animal was muktza at the onset of Yom Tiv? Ela dinafal ba, listen to this case, ela dinafal ba mum over me erev Yom Tiv. Rather, Rabbi say, what's the case? The animal developed a blemish on erev Yom Tiv. Now, what type of blemish did it develop on erev Yom Tiv? What we call a mum over. A mum over, which means what? A mum that is going to heal. We'll say, what's the impact of a mum over on a bachar animal? What's the impact? None. None, right? Right? You cannot consume a bachar animal with a mum over. But yeah, interestingly enough, the animal developed a mum over on Erev Yom Tiv. V'hashta havile mum kavua. And now what happens is fascinating. What began as a mum over developed into a mum kavua. All right, on Yom Tiv. So the Gemara says, "Mal de tema, de daite iluye v'nishchete." So you might have thought that what that halacha lemaisa, since the animal had a mum over on erev Yom Tiv, you're looking at it and you're wondering, well, this could potentially evolve into a mum kavua. So maybe I really have das to go ahead and consume that animal already as of erev Yom Tiv, and therefore halacha lemaisa, once the mum over develops into a mum kavua on Yom Tiv, I should be permitted to partake of the animal. Kamash mola, no. Kamash mola, not like that, Rabbi Osai. And halacha lemaisa, if the mum kavua did not go ahead and develop on Erev Yom Tiv, one would not be permitted to go ahead and partake of the animal. Again, Rabbi Osai, we'll see what the halacha lemaisa is in this case in Meretz Shalom, but later on in the sugya. So Tan Rabbanan, Rabbi Osai, another fascinating case. Tan Rabbanan, Bechor Tam, Shenaf Alabar. So we'll say in this case over here, Bechar Tam Shenaf Alabar. So we'll say, so now remember again, a totally unblemished Bechar that falls into a pit. What's the halacha? The Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer Yered Mum Chavira Im Yesh Bo Mum Ya'ala V'yishchot Ve'im Lav Lo Yishchot. So we'll say, so this is very interesting here. So remember, this Braisa, if you notice, by the way, the verbiage is a bit different than our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah read, Bechar Shenafal Labar. The Braisa is saying over here, Bechar Tam. Now again, at first glance, it's not really such a big difference, but we'll delve a little bit more into the Lashon. Unblemished Bechar, fell into a pit on Yom Tiv. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what can you do? Lower the Mumcha in, and let him see if there's a Mum. If there's a Mum, Ya'aleh V'yishchot. You could bring up the animal, and you could shecht it. Ve'im lav, But ultimately, again, if there's no mum on the animal, lo yishchot, you can't shecht it. You can't shecht it. Rabbi say, we'll see later on what can you do, by the way. What you do is, you're farnes bimkomo. In other words, you lower food into the pit to sustain the animal till after Yom Tov, right? You don't let the animal just sit there. You sustain it till after Yom Tov, then after Yom Tov, you can pull it out. Amar Rabbi Shimon Menasya. So I will say, so this is the position of Rabbi Yehuda, right? So I have an unblemished Bechar that fell into a pit on Yom Tov. Now, again, as a result of the fall, does it have a mum? Does it not have a mum? Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, just lower a mumcha in there, let him inspect it. If it has a mum, bring it out, shecht it. If it doesn't have a mum, you have to leave it there. Rashi says, over look at Rashi, yesh bo mum. Rashi says, he says, im yimtza bo mum hayadua shayom lo nase, yaleo v'yishchot, v'im lav elanafal bo mum hayom, afilu elo lo yishchot. Actually, we'll get to that yet. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Amr lo Rabbi Shimon Menasya. Rabbi Shimon Menasya says as follows. He says, Hare Amru, ein roen mumin biyamtiv. Rabbi Shimon Menasya says, but one second, we paskin that we don't look at mumin on yamtiv. We don't look, Rabbi said, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Amr lo Rabbi Shimon Menasya, Hare Amru. Rabbi said, this is really fascinating. Hare Amru means they said. They said. Who's the they? Rashi says, Rabosinu Doro Shalefaninu. The earlier generations of rabbis already paskind that we do not see Mumin on Yom Tov. We do not see Mumin on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai midoro shelefaneim haya. For Rabbi Tamidu haya, Kenar Mesechus, Erevim Mesechus, Shabbos, Am Rabbi Kishinelem, fine. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi Shimon Menasya says, already earlier generations established that we do not look at Mumin on Yom Tov. If that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda, how are you allowing for a mumcha to be lowered into the pit to inspect the rabbosai? Again, to be clear, this has nothing to do with muktza. This is even if you hold a totally permissive view of muktza, at the end of the day, the problem over here is paskening on mumin on Yom Tov. We'll get to this sugya where we essentially do not render legal decisions on Yom Tov because the rendering of a legal decision has the appearance of tikkun mana, fixing something. So the Gemara says, how do you pasken on this? So the Gemara says, Ketzad, no, so what's the case? No, so we'll say, listen to this. Okay, so what's the case? No lad bo mum be'erev Yom Tov. Here we go. But see, we're going to discuss essentially three different cases. No lad bo mum be'erev Yom Tov. If the animal developed a mum on erev Yom Tov, ein mevakrin oso be'yom tiv. We do not go ahead and inspect the mum on Yom Tov itself. Now, before you turn the page, take a look at the last Rashi. No lad bo mum be'erev Yom Tov. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya mefarish Moses Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So Rabbi Shimon Menasya is now coming along to explain Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Listen to this. So both say, when, here's what we have. Rabbi Shimon Menasya said the earlier generations, which Rashi is identifying as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, said, we do not look at Mumin on Yom Tov. Okay? That's the statement. What we're now going to do is kind of break up that statement into three different cases. So watch this. Case number one, Rashi says, is nolad bo me'erev Yom Tov. The animal developed a mum on erev Yom Tov. Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya mefarish Moshe Rabbi Shimon Yochai Kamar, Hari Amar Rabbi Shimon Yochai Inron Mumin Ketzad, nolad bo me'erev Yom Tov, in mevakrin also lechatchila. Avalim avar ubikra v'shachto, sharei eno metakin kokach, shekarov haya ben ashosh lem tukon, shayim chosher al riyeschom. So listen to this. Case number one, is animal had a mum on erev Yom Tov. Okay? Now, the Chacham did not inspect the animal on Erev. I just want to point out, there's an interesting similarity here, just compare two cases, of like Mum by a Bechar and Sara'as. Both of these cases require what? A definitive ruling by an expert. In other words, even if you know that the Mum on your animal, right, is a Mum Kavua, you can't paskin for yourself. Much in the same way that even if you know your lesion is Sara'as. Sara'as is only Sara'as when? When a kohen says it's saras. A mum kavua, now mum kavua doesn't need a kohen, it just needs an expert, it needs a mumcha. The mum is only a mum when the mumcha says it's a mum. Which I will say, such an incredible yisod. Same basically we said before. When it comes to things that impact me, you generally need an outside source to confirm what's real and what's not. Right? Because ultimately, again, Adam Karov Liatzmo, it's difficult for me to really say, is this Saras or not? Is it really Saras? I need someone outside of me. Bechar behema. Remember, you have a conflict of interest. Why do you have a conflict of interest? Why? Why? Because if it's a mum, who does it belong to? You. And if it's not a mum, who does it belong to? The kohen. So for you to paskin on your own shayla that deals with you, right? That has, so we'll say, it's an incredible yisod. There's sometimes we don't realize that when it comes, we don't see ourselves for who we really are. And this goes both ways. We don't see the good in ourselves, and we also often don't see the mumen in ourselves. So important. This goes back to have your mumcha in life, to have that person who you trust, ultimately, again, who you will say, this is mir mum, this is saras. In any event, so what's that case number one? Is if the mum came about on Erev Yom Tov, no little bo mum, but Erev Yom Tov, no little bo mum, sorry. Ein mevakrin, no lad bo mum erev yamtiv. Ein mevakrin also be yamtiv. If the mum developed on erev yamtiv, we don't inspect the animal on yamtiv. No lad bo mum amadeis. No lad bo mum be yamtiv. What if the mum developed on the animal on yamtiv itself? Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zemin amuchad. So both say this is case number two. Now both say case number one. The Gemara doesn't write it, but Rashi fills in the blank. If the mum developed on erev yamtiv, but you didn't get the mumcha down in time, but the mumcha came on Yom Tov and paskind on Yom Tov, which you shouldn't have done, and you shechted based on his psak, it's okay. Not great, but it's okay. Why not, Rabbi Say? What? It's not great. Why? Because we don't render halachic decisions on Yom Tov. We don't paskind a mum on Yom Tov. But it's not terrible. Why? Because the mum was already there on Erev Yom Tov. That's case one. Case two, there was no mum on Erev Yom Tov. The mum developed on Yom Tov itself. So what happens over here? Rabbi Shimon Omer ein zem min hamuchan. Rabbi Shimon says you can't use that animal, right? Even if the mumcha comes along and inappropriately paskins on it, you still can't use that animal on Yom Tov. Why? Because it wasn't prepared. It wasn't muchan. Ein zem min hamuchan. V'shavim shim nolad hu umumo imo shezem min hamuchan. But everyone agrees that if the mum came about with the birth of the animal, let's say the animal was born with the mum, then that animal is called muchan. We'll discuss each of these cases. So we'll say, so those are the three cases. Case number one, the animal had the mum on Erev Yom Tov. Pretty much, and again, but the Chacham didn't paskin until Yom Tov. If he ended up shechting it, it's okay. Case number two, there was no mum on Erev Yom Tov. If there was no mum on Erev Yom Tov, that animal is unusable on Yom Tov, even if the mumcha paskins on Yom Tov. Case number three, the animal was born with the mum. That's called muchan. That's called prepared for use. Okay, so darish rabba barafuna nola tu umumo imo mevakrin osab Yom Tov lechatchila. To the point, rabba barafuna says, if the animal was born with its mum, you are even allowed to have the mumcha inspect that animal on Yom Tov itself. Right? So Amarli Rav Nachman, Abba, Abba Tani, Im Avar Ubikra Mavukar. So the girsa we have is that no, Lechatchila, the Mumcha is not permitted to go ahead and examine the animal on Yom Tov. Rather what? If he did it, then what? It works. Ex post facto, it works. But you, Rabbi Rafuni, you're saying Lechatchila, the mumcha is permitted to inspect the animal when the animal was born with his mum. The at amrit mevakrin also lechatchila. So we'll say, see here the machlokas? The machlokas is if you have an animal that was born with its mum, with a mum. So Rav Nachman says, you're still not supposed to examine an animal like that on Yom Tov, because we don't examine animals on Yom Tov. We don't examine mumen on Yom Tov. Yet Rabbi Rav Huna said that if the animal was born with the mum lechatchila, you could even go ahead and examine it on Yom Tov. So what's going on over here? So Amar Abaye, Kavase Dira Barafuna Mistabra. The truth is, so Abaye says, I think that Rabbi Barafuna's approach really is clear. Midiktani Tlas Abavi, because we have three distinct constructs. So both sides, Abaye wants to suggest that Rabbi Barafuna is right, namely, that if you have an animal that was born with its mum, you're even allowed to go ahead and inspect that animal lechatchila on Yom Tov. Let's analyze. Nolad bo mum erev Yom Tov, ein mevakrin osab Yom Tov lechatchila. So we had this case number one. An animal had a mum on erev Yom Tov. Nolad bo mum erev Yom Tov, ein mevakrin osab Yom Tov lechatchila. Ein mevakrin osab Yom Tov. We'll say if an animal had a mum on erev Yom Tov, ideally what? You should not examine that mum on Yom Tov. Now what do we infer from that? Lechatchila hu delo. Hadi'eved shapir dami. Now, we already said this before. That's really l'chatchila. L'chatchila, if the animal had the mum on Erev Yom Tiv, we don't examine that mum on Erev Yom Tiv. Bidi'eved, if you examined it, and it turns out to be a mum kavua, what's the halacha, and you shechted it, can you eat the meat? Yes. Can you eat the meat? Yes. No l'bam mum, b'yom tiv, this is case number two. What happens if the animal, the bachar, developed a mum on Yom Tiv? Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein zemin hamuchan. Rabbi Shimon says it's not prepared for use. It's not prepared for use because it was a totally unblemished bachar at the onset of Yom Tiv. Therefore, it's not fit for use. Dafilu dieved namilo, which tells me that even if the animal developed the mum on Yom Tiv and the mumcha examined the animal on Yom Tiv and decided that this is a mum kavua, still you can't eat the animal. Vahadatani, and then we learned later on, what was the third case, Rabbosai? Vishavin, shem nolot umumo imo, shezemin amuchan. We learned afterwards, that's what Rabbosai, if when the Bukhar was born, it was born with its mum, that is called muchan. Which Rabbosai sounds like what? That even if the Bukhar was born when? On Yom Tiv, but it was born with a mum, halacha lemaisa, that animal is actively permitted, afilu lechatchila nami. Shabbosai, so you see what's happening over here? We seem to have a little bit of a contradiction. Case number one is the animal had a mum on Erev Yom Tiv. That was case number one. Shabbosai, what's the halacha if it has a mum on Erev Yom Tiv? What's the halacha? Should you eat it on Yom Tiv? Should you inspect it on Yom Tiv? No. But if you did, you could eat it. Case number two, no mum on Erev Yom Tiv. Develops a mum on Yom Tiv. What's the halacha there? Shouldn't inspect it. And even if you did what? Can't use it. It wasn't muchan. Case number three is the interesting one. What happens if the animal was born on Yom Tiv with a mum? On Yom Tiv with a mum. Shabbos say, that case, it sounds like that what? Everyone agrees that you can have that animal inspected and eat it on Yom Tiv. What about the fact that what? What's the problem? It wasn't muchan on Erev Yom Tiv. So you permitted to eat it. To which the Gemara says, "Aha, kesh Rav Oshia, asa v'aisi masnisa v'yadei." B'yat when Rav Oshia came, he brought another Mishnah in his hand, and he said, "Bein shenolad bo mum Erev Yom Tiv, or bein shenolad bo mum b'yom tiv." Yet ultimately, Rav Oshia said that whether the mum came about on Erev Yom Tiv or Yom Tiv, Chachamim omrim ein ze min hamuchan. The Chacham say, "Halacha lemaisa." The animal is not prepared or not fit for use. Ve'ela kashyach. So we'll say, what do we do with this? How do we reconcile all of this? So the Gemara says, it's not a problem. Hahi adabar uchmi dimishabesh vatani. The author of this particular braisa was adabar uchmi, and everyone knows that adabar uchmi was always messing stuff up. Hey, so we'll say, by the way, what a reputation. Right? What a reputation. Right? We'll say, and it tells you, by the way, how careful a person has to be with what they say and how they live. Don't be the guy who everyone says, wow, this guy doesn't have it together. Because ultimately, again, if you're that guy who doesn't have Seder in his life, if you're that guy who constantly is Mishabesh, that's how people will come to know you, and that's how people will remember you. Amram Nachabar Yitzchak, Masnisinami Daiko, our Mishnah also reflects this view. Tiktani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol she'ein mumo nikr me'erev yom tiv ein zemin amuchan. Any time that the mum was not known on erev yom tiv, the animal is not considered to be prepared. So the Gemara says, my ein mumo nikr. What's the case of mumo not nikr? What's the case where the mum is not recognizable? Here we go. Ilei mashen mumo nikr klal. If we're talking about that there was no mum, pshita. Then we'll say, that's obvious. Tzricha lemeimar, does that even need to be said? Elo, delo eschazi lechacha me'erev yomtiv, im mum kavua, im mum over. Rather, Rabbi will say, when it says, im mumo nikar me'erev yomtiv, what that means is, the mum was there, but the chacham didn't see it on erev yomtiv, yet to know, is it a mum over, or ultimately, is it a mum kavua? But what do you see from here? Katani mihas, ein zeh min amuchan. Rabbi will say, what you begin to see, is even if the mum was there, but what? It was not inspected prior to Yom Tiv. That's not min hamuchan. which Rav Ossi seems to begin to paint a picture that halacha l'maisa, the only way the animal, the blemish bachar, is going to be permitted on Yom Tov is how? Is if the mum was paskined on prior to Yom Tov. Ba'amine hil merava. So Rav Ossi, hilo asfang shaleh from Rava. Yeah, we're going to see, it's a tangent, but it's going to come back to the conversation. Yesh muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos, we muktzah l'chatzi Shabbos. Literally translated, is there muktzah for half a Shabbos? Not. I was saying, what does it mean, the muktzah for half a Shabbos? But it's a fascinating case. If something was muktzah at the onset of Shabbos, but then its circumstances changed, does the status change if the circumstances change? So the Gemara, so what's the case? Hey, chidami. If the item was fit for use, twilight of Shabbos, but say we generally assume that when is Mukta status locked in? When is it locked in? At the onset, Ben Hashmashos to Shabbos. So if the item was fit Ben Hashmashos, the item should remain fit. If it wasn't fit Ben Hashmashos, then what? Then Bepashtos, it doesn't become fit. Listen to this case. We'll say, watch this. What's the case? The item was fit for use, then it became unfit for use, then it was once again rendered fit again. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Da'achzu tap Rashi, actually. Tap Rashi. Da'achzu ben Hashmashos. It was fit for use, ben Hashmashos. Ve'idchi, Rashi says, B'Shabbos, Shenafla lem gishamim, V'tafchu v'hadar achzu, Sheshazaf achash. We're going to see, the Gemara is going to illustrate this case with a case of fruit, where let's say, again, the fruit was fit for use, ben Hashmashos. It became unfit afterwards. Let's say dew fell on it, and for whatever the reason, rendered it unfit. Then the dew dissipated, and it became fit again. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Amar lei yesh mukta. So we'll say, he says, ultimately, again, in this case, an item actually can become mukta. In other words, it could become mukta again. We'll see, you know, we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with this sugya of, can you have a flip-flop status of mukta? In other words, could something be mukta, then non-mukta, or I should say, non-mukta, mukta, and become non-mukta again, and then we're going to tie this back. So we'll say, but just what I just want to leave you right now is we have three cases in the situation of Bachar. Right? Case number one, just to review our three cases, we're clear with this. Case number one is that halacha l'maaseh again, there was a mum erev yamtiv, but the chacham didn't get a chance to go ahead and inspect it. If you go ahead, and it turns out to be a mum kavua, if you shech that animal on yamtiv, can you eat it? As far as we are now, yes. Case number two, there was no mum on erev yamtiv, mum developed on yamtiv. What's the status in that case? Eina muna muchan. Case number three is the bechar was born with its mum. Now, we're going to see that's a case of where the Bechar is born with its mum on Yom Tov. And it sounds like over here that that animal is going to be permitted. The resolution of those three cases, an understanding of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Mishnah, and the Halacha L'Maaseh, all in tomorrow's daf. Shtar Chabosai.